Thank you for joining us today in Grace Church's Sermon Podcast. Today, Pastor Stephen Keith tackles the subject of bitterness. He'll discuss how it is cultivated in our hearts, how it affects our everyday lives, and ultimately what the solution for bitterness is. I hope you enjoy today's message and will consider joining us any Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our corporate worship service here at Grace Church. God bless.
2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23. Talking this morning about digging out the root of bitterness. How many of you have ever been bitter before? Raise your hand. How many of you are bitter right now? Keep your hands up. Amen. At least we got some honest folks in the house of God this morning. I'm sometimes there. I just kind of got over some bitterness. And I've learned some things about bitterness from my own personal experience. Amen. I don't know about you, but people sometimes be bitter. Circumstances and situations sometimes leave me bitter. I'm just being honest with you here this morning. And so I want to give you some hope this morning. I want to give you some power in reference to the Word of God on how we can dig out the root of bitterness. Because here's the thing, bitterness is definitely a root. And it definitely takes a hold of us, does it not? Very strongly, and it has the ability to control each and everything that we do in this thing called life. Now, I just want to say this, I'm not a gardener. I'm not a gardener. I wish I was. Johnny Mangano knows how to plant all the crops and he gets good harvest. I'm not so much of a gardener, but I do know weeds. Y'all understand? I know about weeds. My whole yard is filled with weeds. I try to cut them to make them look like grass, but they're weeds. Our church parking lot here, our church grounds, it looks like grass, but it's weeds. Our parking lot that I'm so crazy about and the cracks that form in the parking lot because of age, those little things that grow up in the cracks, they're weeds. And so I know about weeds, all right? And I want to give you something in reference to weeds. When I go out to the church parking lot, as a matter of fact, I was there yesterday because last week I thought I got all the weeds, but this week, guess what? They were back. They were back. Different types of weeds weren't the same kind of a thing, but they were green and they were growing out of the cracks. And so I started pulling these weeds and I noticed that the ones from last week, the ones that I didn't really get the root out, they were back. You know what I'm saying? I had pulled the surface leaves off of the crack, but the root remained. And because the root remained, guess what came back? The weeds. And I think the same thing applies when it comes to bitterness in reference to us and how it affects us in our everyday lives. Now here's the thing. When the root is exposed and when the root is removed from the crack or from the soil that's in the crack of the church parking lot, guess what happens? The weeds disappear. The weeds are gone. And so I want to talk about not digging out weeds in your garden or digging out weeds in a church parking lot because I'm going to take care of that. But listen, I want to talk to you about digging out the root of bitterness in your everyday life because I know, friends, there and sometimes we feel stuck. Amen. And God gives us a solution on how we can deal with digging out the root of bitterness. First, we've got to figure out what bitterness is, amen? And so I wanted to look at what the Bible said bitterness was. And so there's so many different definitions for this one word because this one word has many different translations in the Greek language. And so I want to give you about five different definitions of the word bitterness. And by the way, if you have your bulletin today, I'm going to try something new. And this is going to be for the sake of time and for me not panicking too much. I have so many notes that I try to get on paper throughout the week. And so I'm going to give you, as you write the points down, I'm going to give you extra scripture to look up, whether it's while I'm preaching or after I'm done preaching, so that you can understand that what I'm saying to you is truth. Amen. And so the scriptures I'll give you are backed up from the scriptures that we're looking at. And I encourage you to write those down. Goes up to dig deeper into God's word after we leave here. And so number one, the first definition of the word bitterness is a strong, sharp in taste, having a sharp, strong, unpleasant taste. For example, something like an orange or a lemon peel. Sour. How many of y'all know some sour folks up in your life here this morning? How many of y'all know some people that are just bitter, right? And because they're bitter, they're sour. Number two, resentful, angry, and resentment. Number three, difficult to accept, painful and very hard to accept. Anyone know those types of people in your life? You know, we all have them. Number four, hostile, expressing intense hostility towards something or someone. Number five, very cold, unpleasantly cold. Bitterness will make you very unapproachable. and very cold. And I want to focus on the second definition, which again is resentment. And it has the idea of this brooding anger that happens from the inside, and it kind of transforms into our outside activities. This anger produces a bad spirit within us. And so we want to talk about this. We want to understand exactly what it is. It is a spirit of hostility or coldness towards God and towards the things of God, and specifically towards others. So that's what bitterness is. Where does bitterness come from? It comes from our reaction from what others do to us or say about us, is it not? Isn't that where bitterness comes from? From our reaction of what someone said about us, what they did about us. We get bitter, so we get mad at somebody, don't we? We want to blame somebody. We get bitter, we blame God for the situation or the circumstance that we're experiencing. We blame others for our troubles that we're dealing with. Bitterness will affect every relationship in your life. Every relationship. I don't care if you're a father, a husband, a mother, all these different wives, husbands. It will affect every relationship in your life. The first and foremost, most important relationship it will affect is your relationship with God. It hinders the fellowship. It hinders the flow of God in our everyday lives if we can't get bitterness taken away. And I think it's interesting, write these scriptures down real quick. Hebrews 12, 15 and Deuteronomy 29, 18. Those scriptures give us more on the root of bitterness. And I think it's great that it mentions the word root, because there's power in that. It's called a root because it's what? It begins hidden in the soil of your heart, does it not? Not everybody might be able to see it in your everyday life. You might be able to come to church with a smile on your face and fake the pastor out and fake the preacher out and make believe everything's okay, but isn't that kind of where the root starts? Inside, underneath the crack, underneath the surface, you can't see it festering. But make no mistake about it, it's festering. And so there it is. It intertwines itself in around our heart, our minds, until they choke the life out. It chokes the life out completely. Amen? That's what bitterness does. And if allowed to grow, and if allowed to be unchecked in our everyday lives, then the root of bitterness will kill you, and it'll kill everybody else around you. I believe that. I've experienced that. I see that in reference to bitterness in people. In our text this morning, and we haven't gotten there yet, I know this is a long front porch, we are presented with a man who experienced a tremendous amount of bitterness. He's bitter, but it's not because of his name, and you're going to see that in just a minute. This guy's name is Ahithophel. Ahithophel. Like, if anybody's going to be bitter, it's going to be the guy with that name, right? Like, what's your mama call? Ahithophel. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I'd be bitter too. I'm just saying, that's a weird name. But look, we see that bitterness stemmed or was rooted in the name. And here's the guy's name, Ahithophel. And let's just read the text. I've only got one verse in reference to what we're going to look at, but we're going to look at the entirety of chapter 17, looking here and there. But look at verse 23 of chapter 17, and notice what the Bible says. Whoo, come here. Now when Ahithophel saw that he had a bad name, saw that his advice was not followed, notice what he did. He saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city, and then he put his household in order. He took care of everything, got everything in order. And notice what he did because of bitterness. And he, what did he do? He hanged himself. He hung himself and he died. And he was buried in his father's tomb. This guy named Ahithophel had a name that he was saved. People looked at him. People saw him hanging out with Christians, with people of God, and he had a testimony that his name was saved, or that he had a close relationship with God, and yet something was wrong. And I want to point out the number one point this morning, the testimony. Let's look at the testimony of Ahithophel. He had a testimony of a man who was saved. From all appearances, from the outward, you would think that this man was okay. I mean, he sacrificed to God according to 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12. The Bible tells us that he was quick to sacrifice things before God. The very first time Ahithophel appears in the Bible, he appears engaged in the act of worship. This indicates that he was a keeper of the law and a worshiper of God. So, you know, number two, he spoke for God. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, write these verses down. Make sure that I'm telling you the truth. Verse 23, Ahithophel had the reputation of a man who gave good, who gave his goods in a godly way. He gave counsel to the godly. He was best friends with a man named David. I think we know who David was. And so he hung out and he counseled men of God. And he had a testimony of a man who was saved. But not only that, he had a testimony of a man who served. He was serving right alongside of men and women of God. Reading about this man's life teaches us that he did not just believe in God, he also served God and he served others. And that's a good thing, amen? That's what God calls us to do. So he was the kind of guy that mowed his neighbor's yard. He was the kind of guy that brought you cookies and milk when you first, you know, showed up into the cul-de-sac and you were new. He was a good guy. He did things for others. He served in the church. The Bible says, and also in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12, that he was a counselor to the men to God's man. Great leaders have always surrounded themselves with good counselors, and David was no exception. Ahithophel was one of the men David trusted for advice and for direction as he governed the nation of Israel. He valued what Ahithophel had to say. Not only was he a counselor, God's man, he was a companion to God's man. He had a relationship with fellow believers. In Psalms chapter 41, verse 9, and write that down, I'm not going to read it, but it says in this psalm, which basically looks back at the treachery of Ahithophel's life, David is writing this psalm and he refers to him as my familiar friend. My familiar friend. So he had a relationship with godly people. The word familiar comes from the same root word that is often translated peace. So he was at peace with David. And so this is kind of what we see in reference to his testimony. They were as close as they could. They were two peas in a pod, if you will. And the word friend comes from the word that can be translated great champion. And so he was a friend to a man of God whose name was David. And we know who that is. But note, in spite of the fact that Ahithophel gave every outward indication that he was okay with God and that he was okay with the people of God, something was working and festering inside of him. Now, what was it? I want to give you right now the fact. It was bitterness. He was stewing and brewing over some things that had happened in his past. And we're going to figure out exactly what happened in his past that caused him to be so bitter. Inside Ahithophel, he was being eaten alive because of circumstances and situations that had happened to him. Something had happened years earlier that had caused him to be bitter. And what was it? It was this. You remember a lady by the name of Bathsheba? Y'all know the story, right? Bathsheba and David, and David was out, and he was the king of the palace, and he was walking around on the top of the roof, and he started looking, and he was looking for something, by the way. He was looking at things that weren't of God and weren't contrary to God. And so he began to look. And as he was looking, he began to lust. And he saw this lady named Bathsheba. And she was extremely pretty. She was gorgeous. And she was bathing out on the top of the roof. No, that's just what they did back then. It's okay. She wasn't trying to be, you know, whatever. But, you know, she was taking a bath. She was simply trying to get clean and relax. And David prays on her. And he sends his men to go and to get her. And he lays with her. He sleeps with her. And the problem with that is this lady's married. And so David takes and eats from the forbidden fruit, so to speak. And so long story short, he sins with Bathsheba. He doesn't want Uriah, who's Bathsheba's husband, to find out. Uriah, by the way, is one of his soldiers and is fighting for King David. So he sends word for Uriah and he tries to bring him back and he tries to get him to lay with his wife, but he won't do it because he's a man of integrity. He says, look, if the battle guys are out there and they can't be with their wives, I'm not going to do it either. So David's plan is foiled. And so he proceeds to do what? He proceeds, because of his lack of confession of adultery, he proceeds with murder. And he has Uriah put on the front lines, and Uriah is tragically killed. Now, here is how Ahithophel is connected to Bathsheba. He's related. This is her uncle. And so everything that David has done to her, David has done to him. And even though he's making it seem like they're boys and they're best friends, he's got a hidden agenda. He's got some things deep down in his heart that he's got some problems with. And I think Ahithophel is about to teach us as a church that just because everything looks good from the outside doesn't necessarily mean everything is good on the inside. Amen? Now, we don't see the inside, but God does. And he weighs our hearts, and he evaluates our motives. And so, you know, the insides show the true condition of our hearts, does it not? We don't always want to show everybody our insides, but that's the true condition of who we are. Have you ever heard of the word hypocrite? How many of you have ever been called a hypocrite as a Christian? We probably all have. You can raise your hand. It's okay. And I am a hypocrite. That's fine. I want to give you just a quick definition of what the word hypocrite means. In biblical context, a hypocrite was one who practiced hypocrisy, okay? And so what that literally meant, if you look in Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 15, verse 25, verse 27, and also verse 23 of chapter 23 of Matthew, it is how Jesus referred to the scribes and the Pharisees. It's what he called them. He called them hypocrites. And it's a very interesting word. It originally was used to refer to an actor who was in a play, and yet he had to play more than one part. And so what he would do was it was a famous Greek play or this Broadway production, so to speak. The actor would play many parts. And so the actor would have different masks for each part that he played. And so you could see changing masks from scene to scene. And as he transitioned from one part to another, he would switch from one mask to another. Thus, hypocrisy came to refer to someone who, listen to this, plays different parts by hiding behind different masks. Ouch. Ouch to all of us, amen? Someone who wears their church face on Sunday and lives like the world Monday through Saturday, hypocrite. The one who comes in here and pretends like everything's wrong and you ain't got no problems and you don't want people to know what's going on in your inside, hypocrite. I know it hurts. It hurts me too. And by the same token, let me just say this, church, someone who loves you to your face on Sunday and yet stabs you in the back all throughout the week, hypocrite. And yet it happens to each and every one of us, doesn't it? What is the bottom line? You see, it's not always what you get. Now what I mean when I say that? People try or tend to try to hide a lot of themselves from others. Walls up, don't we? Amen. We put walls up. Look, the biggest problem that we have with people is not trying to love them, it's letting us love them. Like they've got these walls up and it's hard to get over those walls. And I can understand, you know, why we do this. People tend to try to hide themselves because why? We don't want to be hurt. We don't want people to think that we're weak. And so it's a natural defense mechanism. By the way, it's carnal. But we all need to remember that no matter what we can see in reference to somebody else and or ourselves, God can see all, and there's nothing hidden from his sight. And he has the solution to our bitterness. Number two, the tragedy of Ahithophel's life. The bitterness that was hidden in his heart finally came out, and it manifested itself in his life. He couldn't contain it anymore. He couldn't stuff it anymore. When David's son Absalom rebelled against his father, Ahithophel saw his chance to enact his revenge upon King David. Now follow with me, if you will, for context purposes. Ahithophel joined the rebellion and stood against God's anointed one, according to 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31. And also according to Psalms chapter 41, verse 9. Write those down. Out of his hatred for David, Ahithophel gave Absalom two words of counsel. He told him two things. The first was this. And the first recommendation was designed to disgrace King David, according to 2 Samuel chapter 16. Verses 20 through 23. He wanted to disgrace King David by having Absalom go into his father's concubines. And he publicly disgraced David and created a rift between his father and a son that could never be healed. They struggled with this until the day that they died. Second recommendation was designed to destroy King David. The first was to disgrace King David. The second was to destroy, according to 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. Had this second piece of advice been followed, or been taken, some heed had been taken to it, it is possible that David wouldn't have been defeated. The conclusion, thankfully, in the scriptures that we're looking at is this. David had a true friend. Believe it or not. I know he's always getting sold out by people, isn't he? He had a true friend, believe it or not, in Absalom's court. And this is another funny name, guy named Hushai. Y'all ever heard that name before? Not me neither. I mean, Hushai. His name originally, he had planned to go with David. And when they fled from Absalom, but David didn't want him to come with him. They were fleeing from Absalom. David said, I don't want you to come with me. I know you want to protect me, but I want you to stay here. I want you to stay put because I've got a work for you to do here. David wanted him to stay behind in the city to try to overthrow the council of Ahithophel, according to 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 32 through 37. There's a lot here. That's why I'm just throwing verses at you. I can't read all these texts. I'll go crazy. Hushai comes to Absalom and professes his loyalty, according to 2 Samuel 16. After he gains Absalom's confidence and trust, Hushai contradicts the wise counsel of Ahithophel, according to 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 22, which resulted in Absalom accepting Hushai's counsel as opposed to whose? Ahithophel's. Are we on the same page here? Y'all following along? I'm making it pretty clear, I hope. The key verse, I believe, in 2 Samuel chapter 17 is found in verse 14. And I want you to know that God all around this scenario, he was all around this story, he was behind everything that transpired here. He orchestrated it all. Remember, our God is sovereign, amen? I mean, he's in power of everything. He orchestrated everything here. He made it happen. He allowed things to happen, and he did it through people. Do y'all see that? Hey, look, God still works the same way today. He wants to use his people for others to experience his glory. When Ahithophel sees that his counsel has been rejected and that his plans to defeat and to destroy King David have failed, notice what he does. He returns to his house, he puts everything in order, and he proceeds to take his very own life. He proceeds to commit suicide. Now, you want to talk about a sad story, amen? This is a sad story. Note this. Ahithophel did all these evil things, again, because of the root of bitterness in his life. And I want to go ahead and just recount that one more time. Ahithophel had lost sight of his former friendship with David. He lost sight of his walk with God. Everything that was valuable in his life, that was around his life, had been choked out for one reason and for one reason alone. And that's because he was bitter at David. He couldn't get rid of the bitterness. And here's the thing. The same thing happens with us today. We let bitterness in, it consumes us, it controls us, it makes us lash out at others, even others who don't even do anything wrong to us, right? And God doesn't want it to remain in our life. He wants us to dig out the root of this thing called bitterness. Finally, I want to focus, because I'm running out of time, I'm sorry. I was trying to get this all in the right amount of time. I want to look at the teaching of Ahithophel's life. We've saw the testimony. What was number two? Yes. And number three is the teaching that we can see here. As we continue to look at his life, I think you would agree with me that his life ended tragically, right? Amen. We don't have any weirdos here. Okay, so this man truly lives up to his name. And I wanted to give you this earlier, but I forgot to, but I'm going to go up to it right now. Ahithophel, his name, there is a meaning to his name, and I want to give you the meaning to his name. It literally means brother of folly. Like, that's the real reason he wanted to, like, he was bitter because of that. His mama names you brother of folly. Brother of ruin, that's your name. Oh, praise God. You know what Proverbs says about the fool, right? Many, many different things. And so his mama's calling him this. She's categorizing him as the fool. And knowing what happened to him, I think that we would all confess that we don't want that thing to happen to us, right? Like, I want to go see God, and I'm all for that, but I don't want to do it the same way that Ahithophel did it. Amen? Why was he bitter? Again, he was bitter because of the hatred he had towards David. Looking at the passages that involve this story, it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 27, and 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 34. And looking at these together and comparing one another, you can see that Bathsheba was the granddaughter. I said that wrong earlier. The granddaughter of Ahithophel. Now y'all see where I'm coming from here? That's why he was so bitter. Considering what David did to Bathsheba, it's no wonder that this guy's angry, right? David pretty much treated Bathsheba like she was a piece of meat, right? Like she was a plaything. Like she was going to do anything they wanted her to do because he was king. And so he treated her in a wrong way. And so this bitterness ate up Ahithophel's, and it ate him alive until he was finally at the point of no return, right? And he finally took his own life. And then he saw that his plans had failed, and that he, his plan didn't work out. And we can see the dangers in allowing the root of bitterness to flourish in our life. God is sovereign. I said that before. He is able to deal with the sins of his children every time. And I want to say this to you. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. I don't care whether you murder someone or you talk bad about someone behind their back. That's all the same in God's eyes. And we're all sinners, and God is sovereign. He knows that. He's able to deal with our sin. We just got to bring our sin to him. Amen. Ahithophel failed to do that. And because he failed to go to the solution, he experienced death, and he experienced death everlasting. What a sad and tragic story. Thankfully, the Bible holds the answer to this question. How can we deal with our bitterness? Acknowledge your sin. Own your sin. Then take your sin to the only place you can, and that is to the feet of Jesus, because he's the only one that can do anything about it. If you're bitter, bring your bitterness to the Lord. If you're bitter at someone, and maybe that someone's a part of your family, your church family, go to that person. Let them know how you feel inside so that you can yank that root of bitterness out of your life before it kills you and before it kills others around you. Father God, I pray this morning that you would help us as we go through life. And Lord, it's hard. It's not easy. God, help us to live like you. Help us to reflect your glory and the image of your Son in our everyday lives. Lord, when someone hurts us, when someone does us wrong, help us to remember, God, that if we hold on to that, if we fail to let that go, if we fail to give that to you, then we are setting ourselves up for death. God, we're not going to be any good spiritually. We're not going to be any good physically, Lord, because bitterness will eat us up. Father God, I pray that your people would relinquish their bitterness to you and to you alone, and that you would take that bitterness and cast it as far as the east is from the west. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.